This is what you call us to do. To gather together in the name of your Son. To encourage one another in love. To continually look into the perfect law of liberty and be doers of the works. Not forgetful hearers. To call upon your name. To humble ourselves continually before the Lord our God that it may be well with us. To seek you while you may be found. This is what you've called us to do. As of this morning, Lord, this is the commandment you have given to us. Not to neglect the gathering of one another. Lord, as we are gathered, we have prayed before. I pray, Lord, that you please speak with us. You have shielded us. You've kept us by your love. Help us to know this love that passes all human understanding. And also, in all of the noise around us, to be filled with the fullness of God. Father, I thank you as I ask. I've known that all I know to speak is inconsequential. But when you anoint it, Father, I become a very useful vessel in your hand. You are my glory, the lifter up of my head. Father, I'm privileged to speak your word. Father, I just pray that whatever it is I say this morning, you will find it acceptable in your sight. I pray that these few minutes will not be wasted. Father, please just give me the privilege to render faithfully to the degree that you have shown me this your word. I only ask to take part in this wonderful ministry of Jesus, to have a faithful lip, to have a clear understanding, to have a heart that is in the right place. Lord, please accept this. Use it in whatever way it pleases you in the life of your people. Let it bear fruit. I pray, God, that they will have receptive hearts, that they will listen, not as though man spoke to them. Lord, if it's indeed the word of God that I speak this morning, I pray, Lord, that their hearts will receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we welcome everybody once again. Thank God for always gathering us together. So this morning, what is on my heart really is eternity and the Word of God. You know, I'm remarkably conscious of the fact that in 60 years, if the Lord tarries, none of us will be here. I'm conscious of the fact that in 40 years, most of us there will be gone. And there used to be a time when, what? Yeah. The adults, that's most of us, right? Yeah. I think that would be right, theoretically. Most of us are 40 or knocking on it and above, right? Think about it. There used to be a time that 40 years was a long time. But now it doesn't feel like a long time to me. Think about it. I just want us to pause on that thought. 10 years, then 10 years, then 10 years, and before you know it, it's 40. And you are an old, irrelevant, 80-something, clocking 90 man. I don't care how significant your work or anything is today. In 40 years, you're an old, irrelevant person. Tell me what your relevance will be at 40. In 40 years. Most of us. I'm not talking about the kids. Your children just want you for Christmas, then they want you to leave because they have to resume work the following day. Right? You are retired. All you've gathered means nothing. You are just praying for the strength. You can't even travel. At 80-something, if you travel, they are managing you in... Tell me, how many 80-somethings do you see flying about today? How many? That's the point. When you make a plan, will you make a plan with the exemption in heart? No. The devil wants us to live for now. But just think. was saying to someone, I remember clearly, soon all our children were doing SAT. I remember JAM. Our own was JAM in those days. Now it feels like... In 50 years, I think it's safe to say that majority of us will be knocking at the door of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's dwell on the 40th year period first. A lot of things that matter today will no longer matter. Just a few other things will start to matter. This life that is so long, when we think about it, is really very brief. And I began to ponder at the wisdom of God. No wonder he forbears. What looks so important, looks so long to us, is but a vapor. The Bible says, teach me to number my days, so that I may apply my heart to wisdom. Now, where I'm going this morning is, if all that will matter in 40 years is eternity, how are we consciously living in eternity today? There have been moments in my life when I began to think about this, think about that, think about this, think about that, think about this, think about that. And then the Lord lays in my heart the thought that one day the trumpet will sound. Do I have your attention? One day we're going to hear pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa or whatever melody or rhythm it will be. It's going to be the same all over the world, whether you're in Alaska or you are in Australia. Every ear and every eye, we. And then there will be only one question that matters. It says, behold, man will stand before the judgment seat of God. And you know, it doesn't feel that way, right? Does it feel that way? I bet most of us, when we wake up in the morning, what we're thinking about is not judgment seat. We're thinking about how to make ends meet. And when I drive on Route 1, I live not too far from Route 1, and I see all these small businesses, these big businesses, these dealerships, I see trucks, I see this, I see whites, I see blacks, I see Hispanics, everybody, mankind, just going about his own business. Not a care about eternity. Then I understood why some people went, there can't be eternity, there can't be judgment. Because nothing around us prepares us for the time when there will be no redo. And then in all my concerns, the Lord will pump into my heart, is it true? One day, all that matters will not be, Shesimiloluwani, did Miloluwani have A in science or B? How is she going to college? All that will matter, and after that trumpet sounds, there is no redo, will be, are you ready for eternity? And this is what Christianity is all about. And I think it's the portion of Christianity that we're not, I think, flogging enough. That this whole thing is a preparation of the thing for the thing. And I pray that on that day we will be ready. Amen. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross so that on that day we may be ready. Before he came, mankind was not ready. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were selling. They were doing all kinds of things. They were good and they were bad. They were parents and they were non-parents. They were just doing the regular things that mankind knows to do, which is to survive. But ever on the mind of Jesus is that day when eternity will come calling. Because it says there will be two that will rise up on that day. Some will rise up to life. Mama Soji, thank you. I've been accused of not drinking, though. Thank you. And I'm reminded that, oh, Jila, oh, you wake up in the morning, you're coming to church, you're kneeling down to pray, you're coming back. It is all about that day. The Bible even makes it more scary. He says it is possible to run this race and be prepared in January, and by June, you are no longer prepared. And because you don't know whether it's August or November that Jesus is coming, if you just happen to be on your unprepared cycle when the trumpet sounds, all of your preparation does not matter. And I said to myself, if indeed this is true, I think we will cry a little louder at funerals. If there is no redo, if it doesn't matter whether you're a king or a pauper, on that day, there will be Dangote, and then there will be Lazarus. Lazarus already passed through. The distinction will not be by class. Jesus broke down within, there's a special group of, in the world, there's no distinction. In the church, in the world, there is distinction. In the church, no. Jesus Christ, the King of glory, the most royal, made sure he broke down every distinction of personal honor, personal achievements. So that when you enter the temple of the Most High God, all that matters is whether your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. On that day, there will be fools, and wise men will be on the left side. He said, this gospel, oh Lord, blessed are you, because you have hidden it from the prudent and the wise and the scholars, and you have revealed them to babes. The Bible says, behold, the gospel shall be preached to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the acceptable day of the Lord. And I'm always praying, Lord, you know how few it is that will make it? We all think that there's general amnesty. Satan has done a fantastic thing in the church. He has coned us lorun. Go to Kunwa lorun. There's a perception that as many as call in Lord, Lord will be saved. Jesus clearly said no. There's this perception that as long as you tick all the things, you've said the sinner's prayers, you come to church, you're identified as a Christian, that the heavens identify you as a Christian. Not so, my sisters and brothers. On the day that Jesus knocks, I want to be there. On the day that Jesus knocks, I want to be there. I don't care whether I get there. Jesus said something. He said, if your eyes will cause you to go to this hell, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter heaven with one eye than having two eyes, with your two korokoro eyes, you enter into hell. He said, if it is your leg, if it is parting that will not allow you to enter heaven, cut that leg off. Tell my leg, say leg, say leg. You people, we don't do that in New Covenant, so you are not used to it. If it were in other churches now, they would have picked up the cue. Say to my leg, leg, do not go to clubs, because I don't want to go to hell. He said, cut it off. A title will not get us there. I can be known as the best pastor in the world, and I mean nothing to Jesus on that day. So we're going to close this sermon because we started talking about David. I just want to speak briefly about what it is that we need to do in order to ensure that we get there. And we're still using the key of David that we started last week. And it's something that very briefly we'll touch on. We'll close soon. But I want you to examine your life as we look at it and say, as sharp as I am in all of these other religious things, as confident, you see, The man is not wise whose confidence is in himself. It's like a man going for an interview who is cocky and thinks he knows it. And you only get to know that you don't know it when you get to that interview, right? Then you'll be disappointed that maybe I should have prepared a little bit more, right? Let's open to Psalm 119. Let's read a few verses and then we'll close. I'm conscious, brethren, that the object of New Covenant Church, the object of religion, is that we may see Jesus when he comes. I pray that as we are gathered there, so shall we be gathered at the feet of Jesus when he comes. I pray that all of us here will be found approved by Christ. And people, if you are there, you will be one of the very slim minority. Jesus said the way is very broad. The gate is very crooked. The gate that leads to the life and the peace that we all seek. It's not easy. But he said when you find a way that is easy, when you find a gate that allows everybody, it's not likely the right way. And I think as you and I think about Christianity, if we are going to be very sincere, we now know why. But David got there, I would imagine, because the Bible by prophecy kept referring to him as the friend of God. Now, I want to point out a few things about the Word of God, about some practices of David, about some prayers of David that helped him to get there. So that those are the things, by the grace of God, as you embark, it's a very personal race. The race to the kingdom of God is not a corporate race, because the Bible says two will be grinding, one will be taken, the other will be left. Two will be walking, one will be taken, the other will be left behind. That means you might actually have a friend, and I guess if you have a friend, it means you do the same things, you probably have the same things. Two will be lying together, one will be taken, the other will be left behind. That means it's not everybody that gathers together that will go. That means the church comprises of a list that only God knows. Amidst us, we are here, we are not the church. We are only the church in words. The real church consists of individuals whose hearts are singing melodies unto the Lord as we sit down today. If the trumpet were to sound, those are the people that will go. Everything is worth it. I don't know if there's anything more worth it than ensure that we will live for life and eternity. He is not a fool, says the saying, who sells or gives away the things he cannot keep in order to buy the things that he cannot lose. May the Lord give us the strength to do it. Psalm 119. I began to I examine myself a lot, because ultimately, I don't want to be absent on that day. I don't want to live my old life. I don't want to be made a public fool of. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to make a public declaration of Christ before men only on that day to be a castaway. Paul, the great apostle, said, even I, when I've preached, I'm careful so that I'm not a castaway, which means this is a deliberate walk. Another scripture says, examine yourself whether you are really in faith. Because the greatest trick of Satan now is to convince many people that they are in faith when they are not. And the only way to examine this and be sure is through the Word of God. Psalm 119, I'm going to read just a few verses. We'll examine them real quick. Verse 2 says, blessed are those who keep your testimony, who seek you with their whole heart. Are you one of those? Verse 3 there says, they also do no iniquity, they walk in his way. 4, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Brethren, do you know what this means? Even David acknowledges that it's not an easy thing. And he's praying to the Lord. Look, Lord, there are so many distractions. There are so many distractions. Let my heart be directed to keep your law, O Lord. David did not just let relationship happen to him. He was actively cultivating a relationship with the Lord. When he found himself powerless, he prayed. Oh, that my ways. Are you the kind of person that you are saying, Lord, let my ways be directed to keep your law, Lord? Then I will not be ashamed when I look into all your laws. Children, verse 9. How can a young man? You know, it's remarkable, right? I mean, when I was in my 30s, 20s, how can when I emphasize how can a young man, my favorite passage is how can a young man kiss? My wife looks at me and goes, maybe that's not the perfect, that's no longer the perfect verse for you, you know? I mean, you age really quickly. There comes a time when you don't enter into an office and they call you young man anymore. They start calling you sir. And you realize, this is never used to call. How did I? Yeah, well, you're growing gray. You are now in the position where our fathers were. You are now in the position where your mothers were. He said, how can a young man keep his way? By taking heed to thy word, O Lord. Thy word have I kept in my heart that I may not sin against you. How do you ensure that you are ready every moment? By what? Keeping what? Joshua 1:8. What does it say? You have to open that. Similoluwa. Joshua 1:8. No, that's me. Joshua 1:8. You don't have a house yet. This book of the law shall not depart from us. We shall meditate upon it day and night. And, brethren, a Christian who is not marrying their Bible has no chance. It's just the truth. It is just the truth. In Ephesians 5:19, it talks about us encouraging one another with something. You know what that means? It means I'm hanging out in Shade's house. And within the first 30 minutes, we are so full of God's word that when we want to talk about anything, our job, our children, my job, my kids, the word of God just creeps up naturally. I mean, if I'm having a business meeting with someone and you are healthcare professionals, how will healthcare not come up at that meeting? We should be so familiar. The church has gone so bad because of a lack of familiarity with God's word. And then we commit plenty of sins. If we had known God, would we have needed the word of God? Would we have needed Daddy Freeze to teach us about tithing? But God can use a donkey to teach the church when the prophets will not listen. I know you don't know who Daddy Freeze is, don't worry. Some of us here know. What does Jesus say about everything? It will save our hearts from so much heartache if we ponder, if we take the time to be familiar. The way to keep from sin and iniquity is to hide the law of the Lord in our hearts. The way to encourage ourselves, you see, there's encouragement, and then there's encouragement. You know, when we talk about love in Christendom, we talk about comfort and tolerance. We talk about accommodation, which is part of it. But most of the time, some of our comfort, some of our encouragement only emboldens people in their sins. But the friend, the Bible says the man that saves a soul from hell is wise. Which one of your children do you, is it that the only thing when you think about them is what they will dress, what they will wear, how they will look good, how they will? No. Though they may not understand it, you are thinking about how their future will be good. So also in Christianity, we use God's word to teach ourselves about suffering. We use God's word to teach ourselves about endurance. We use God's word to teach ourselves, because Satan just wants to use all of those experiences to pull us down. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. If Christian husbands and wives led their lives according to the dictates of God, they will be safe. Because in the multitude of counsel, there's what? Thank you. In the multitude of counsel, there's safety. As Christians, let us spend time with the word. David did, and that was his key. He goes on further. He said, in 11, your word I've hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony as much as in what? Can you believe that? Your word excites me more than that salary. Excites me more than those riches. Your word excites me as much as any promotion in the world excites me. I have rejoiced. No wonder the man was victorious. The man was confident in his maker. This man that spoke, I told you last week, was the most popular king in the world in his time. The man was handsome. He was reputed. This David that was speaking was a poet and a philosopher, a wise chap if ever there was one. This David that spoke was, I mean, what are the things we fancy in this world? He was the man. And this the man was rejoicing in God's word. I rejoice in the way of your testimony more than all riches. What excites your heart? Is your Bible study period in the morning as exciting to you as the day when you heard that you have been accepted into that school? Where are college people? The school of your first choice. That's the way Jesus wants us to be. To rejoice in the word of God as much. It's okay. All of these other things are God's blessing to us. We have to rejoice. But do we rejoice in the eternal word of God as much? That's what the psalmist is teaching us to do. Then 17, deal bountifully. I recommend Psalm 119 to all of us, by the way. Deal bountifully with your servant. Why? Because I want to live to keep your word. The reason I want to live is in order to keep your word. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live long. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may be well known. Deal bountifully with your servant that my covers may be full. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may accomplish my dreams. No, no, no. Deal bountifully with your servant so that I may continue to live on earth with the reputation that I'm a man that lives by your word. I want to continue to boast about you. So please deal bountifully with me. Let me enter into every boardroom and then let me see that the righteous also prosper. The testimony in corporate America is that you have to play politics or corporate whatever in order to succeed. No, no, no. Continue to deal bountifully. I want to enter and let them know that there's a God in heaven. Deal bountifully. I want to boast in your name. Verse 18, I love that. Open my eyes, O Lord. Most of you, I mean, many of us, when we read the Bible, we no longer see things. Even the things we used to see when we were younger Christians, we don't see them. So the Bible has become boring. The psalmist in 18 says, open my eyes, Lord, let me see wonder. This is a prayer, and prayers that David is teaching us to pray. When you get, if you no longer find God's word exciting, say, open my eyes, O Lord, I may see wondrous things from your word. I'm a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. We are pilgrims. Open my eyes, Lord. So even when the Bible is boring, there's a scripture for it. Right? There's no excuse not to encounter the scriptures. You can say, open my eyes, Father. Let me see wonderful things from your word. Because I'm a stranger, I pray that we will all be strangers in this world. In Jesus' name. How about if you are depressed? Is there a word for it? Go to verse 28. My soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen me. How? According to your word. So even a heavy heart is not an excuse to run away from God. There's a scripture for that. My soul, this man did not deny his feelings. Say, I don't feel like reading your word, but Lord, strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law most graciously. And on and on and on and on. I recommend, we couldn't go through all the verses I marked there, but I just pray that we will be people who live by God's word. Someone, as we close, you please open to Isaiah chapter 55 and read for me verse 10 and verse 11. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. God is faithful, brethren. We play at God like we're playing with men. He's a Messiah. We can't negotiate with him. The mind of the Lord is predictable, because he's very faithful to his word. But only a man that is familiar with it can know it. Let us take seriously what the Lord has said to us. You know, I fear when I look around today. My heart trembles. At times we think because it's okay with us, it's okay with God. At times we think because the multitude does it this way and it's acceptable, then it's fine. At times we think because our forefathers did it, then it's okay. But he said everything he has spoken in the Bible will come to pass exactly as he has said it. If he says no unholy thing will enter his kingdom, and day in, day out, there's unholiness in us, if that trumpet were to sound, would there be amnesty? Watch and pray, the Bible says. The Son of Man comes at a time and a season when no man will know. I always remind myself that the reason I'm a Christian is not because it's cool to be a Christian. Most of us did not join a cool club. The reason I'm a Christian is not because I'm a new covenanter. The reason I'm a Christian is by the grace of God. The Lord showed me the danger of a life without the fear of God and without the hope of resurrection. I made a choice, and you all have to make a choice if you haven't, to follow Jesus. It's not going to come easy. You are going to have to pay a price. The Lord is not going to reward your effort. He's going to reward your faithfulness. Because if it's insincere effort, there's no reward for it. You have to choose to follow Jesus. You have to make heaven an aspiration. You have to choose that your life will be governed by the word of God, no matter how foolish it sounds. Now we're beginning to modify God's word because this is impractical. Because it's impractical, God must not mean it that way. Not so. The Lord still requires faithfulness. He still shows himself to those who seek him diligently. He is still a wonder-working God. He still makes a way in the wilderness for his own. He's still going to create chances where there appears to be none. But I beg you, don't be a Christian by default. Don't be a Christian in cruise control. Don't be carried by the arms of New Covenant Church. Don't derive your spiritual confidence because you belong to a living church. Let the Spirit in you, the Spirit of God himself, validate you. By your works, let it be plain that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. May the Lord Jesus keep us faithful. May he give us the strength, because it's not easy. The onslaught of temptations and trials. No wonder few people will make it. One compromise, that's all it takes. One compromise. And the Spirit will tell you, but when our hearts are hard, the Spirit stops talking. One compromise. You that you used to be in the house of prayer, how come in Christian maturity we no longer find you in the house of prayer? How come? How can you possibly live as a Christian and you are not a prayerful person? What is the weapon that we have? What is our weapon to fight an invisible enemy? Can we reason Satan out? You that your passion was reading the scriptures, how come that same Bible is only on Sundays that you carry it? What chances do we have against Satan if we are not full of God's word? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. I know I said that was the last one, but I'd like us to read. Anybody that finds it, should please read it. Colossians 3:16. Okay, I'll read it.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord.
This is the word that God will want us to hear as we close out the year. It is time to seek the Lord again, brethren. I pray that as the Lord prospers us in many things, that we will also prosper in his word. I pray there will come a day when two believers will be gathered together and they will be talking about the righteousness of God. Not about the latest fad. Not about things that we can't take with us. Not about the things of this world that perish with the use. But two believers sitting together, expanding the word of the Lord, enriched by the Holy Spirit. This is what you call the communion of the Spirit. Because every other thing is for this world. But the word of God endures forever. Praise the Lord. I hope we are blessed. I hope our hearts are charged. Please don't take this as yet another Brother Wiley sermon. Please don't take this as, he's certainly going to talk about something and he's going to be serious with that, his non-smiling face. And if the Lord Jesus was standing here, he wouldn't be talking about the dress you're wearing. He doesn't care what position or title you wear, because it's all death. They're all for this world. They perish. The kings of this world glory in those things. If Jesus was standing here, he'll be saying, my child, I died for you. Are you ready? You're a prince. I don't care what estate you are in today. I've made you a prince. Are you ready to come into the kingdom of your father? He'll be talking about what is the rhythm of your heart? Is the Spirit ruling in your heart? This is Christianity, brethren. He has not called us to gather people together to discuss home, to preach homilies, strategies and formulas. He has called us to remind one another every day that he's coming back. He has taught us to teach our children, to prepare them for eternal things. That's what Jesus came for. I think I'm way past time. Father, we thank you for this day and bless you again. Lord, let your word enter our hearts. We're waiting on you. Give us the courage to be different. Give us the grace to wait for you. Let your word be sweet to us, to be sweet to our taste buds. Help us to rejoice in it more than in any wealth or riches. Help us not to be deceived as the world is deceived. That thing that you gave to your people, you give to your people, that makes them hopeful in every situation. That thing that makes the heart burn and longs for the coming of Jesus, give to us, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Savior. Help us, Lord. Deliver us from the great deceit. Deliver us from the slumber, O Lord. Lighten our eyes, lest we sleep the sleep of death. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.